Good morning, science. My name is Alexandra McGold, and this week I had the pleasure of interviewing Professor Oded Rehavi. Oded loves to challenge fundamental scientific dogmata, and he really means it too. I'm referring to his finding of an exception to the original cell theory. He provided the first direct evidence that via RNA, not DNA, an acquired trait can in fact be inherited, but he also discovered a mechanism that allows nematodes' brains to control the behavior of their progeny, and a neuronal circuit level mechanism that explains economic irrationality. It was him and his team that are also working on strategies that target parasites to be genetically engineered for nervous system drug delivery, and yes, it was indeed the Rehavi lab that utilized genome sequencing to piece together fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So, the modern version of an all-round genius really is alive. This is Dr. Rehavi and I talking about his passion for science. What is your favorite part of your job? When do you really feel in your element?
So there are many things I like about my job. The most fun is that I'm totally free to do whatever I want. And I'm not restricted by the hours that I need to get to work or by the topics that I need to study or by anything. I mean, in theory, in our job, we could be sitting at the pool all day and do nothing at some point. It's not recommended, but it's possible. I don't think there's any other job where you have so much freedom. That's what I like. I think, the goal in life is to maximize your freedom, and academia offers that if everything works okay.
What does the topic have to have for you to be attracted by it?
So sometimes I'm forced in talks, for example, to tie things together, to find some title that would connect the different topics. For example, I sometimes call it breaking biological barriers, and then I can talk about the barriers between generation, and this is related to our work on transgenerational epigenetic inheritance, or the barriers to the brain, and then I can talk about using parasites to deliver proteins to the brain, or normally I say blood-brain barrier, and then I use this as an excuse, or I can talk about limitations to rationality, and then I talk about our work on economic irrationality and the molecular and neurological basis of it, and the barriers that separate the generations. And this gives me an excuse to talk about our work on ancient DNA and the Dead Sea Scrolls and so on. But the fact is that it's not really connected. These are just ideas that came, and we felt like studying them, so we did. And we have additional posts. We always keep whatever is interesting, we will study it. We are not limited by any topic. When I just started my lab, there were some people that told me that I need to be known for something. So for example, when people say Oded Rehavi, people will think, I don't know, RNA inheritance or something. And I think strategically, it's probably a good advice because you carve your niche and so on, and people know you, and then easier to get your papers accepted, and to, and when you go to a meeting, that people know you, but it's less interesting. And it's exactly like you said in the beginning, that the fun part of our job is that we can do whatever we want. So why limit ourselves?
And one of the things that I also really love, admittedly, about your tweets is how they put a lightness and a funny face at some actually rather dark realities in academia. And I do wonder how this came to be, because like we love them, many friends of me, and it helps a lot to kind of laugh at it, you know.
I mean, you laugh at what you know, and course some of the things that I talk about, I don't know if I can even say talk about, that I tweet about, are very specific details in academia that only if you're an insider you would even understand. And I have some followers who are not academics, and they say, we have no idea what you're talking about most of the time. It's so, niche. So we all, I mean, we are obsessed with it. We talk about it all the time because some of it is so arbitrary and twisted, that the way to deal with it is to laugh about it. And I think that's also something very Israeli. And it just makes everything easier if you can joke about it.
Yeah.
So the everyday frustrations, we try to show it in a funny way. So that's it.
Yeah.
And so probably I have also darker tweets from my friends and family in WhatsApp that I can never otherwise.
Oh, I'm intrigued. There is a yin to the yang.
The inner circle, and then
So I'll
try one more time and ask you the other way around. If you're hiring people, what are you looking for in those people? What do you want to have in your lab?
So one thing I noticed already a long time ago is that I'm really bad at interviewing people. So most of the time, I mean, there are many people that look good on paper. And I find that when I actually interview them, I do most of the talking. So I don't really even listen so much because I'm so excited to tell them about the work. And so I'm really bad at it. I think there's no real good technique for me. I don't do these tests and assignments and things like that. We just talk. At the end, what I'm looking for is people that I can get along with well and that I think will contribute to the lab, not only because of the specialty, but also because it will be fun and they will get along. I had mistakes in the past where I had people that were brilliant or really good at something and they didn't get along so much. I never fired anyone because it's very bad to fire a PhD student or something like this. So I never fired any student or postdoc, But I do look for people with interdisciplinary backgrounds, but I also sometimes look for people who studied epigenetic inheritance in C. elegans, you know, in their PhD. That's also good.
Sure.
So you need different components in the lab. This is something that I'm adding more and more to the lab. So for example, now we are renovating, we're expanding the lab, and we are also, we will have resident artists. We will have all kinds. Writers. All kinds of people, and I'm really excited about this.
But wow!
There's so many talented and smart people that that you just need to be lucky that they will come to you.
Wow!
You know, people when they go to choose the research topic, and of course this happens in certain junctions in your life where you have the opportunity to study something else and not just be carried with the momentum. Yeah. Then you think maybe I want to change humanity or cure cancer or something like this. And this is all very important and good, but it's also a very, you know, unobtainable goal. You can, you want to do it, but it's very difficult and it's maybe it won't work. So I think that for me, and this is also connected to the tweets and to everything that we do, and to the reason we study also totally off topic subjects, is that I think that as a goal, it's sometimes good to just want to do something interesting or aspiring, because even if it has no use and it's good for nothing. I mean, when an artist creates something interesting or entertaining or inspiring, you don't say, but you know, how will this advance humanity? You're just happy that you were inspired and then and you appreciate it. And I think as scientists, we should also think like that a little bit, just do things because they are inspiring and interesting and even maybe entertaining to other people.
Yes. Awesome. This is fascinating. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.